Welcome to the Cox Automotive Sales Day call. My name is Adrian, and I'll be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we'll conduct a question-and-answer session. During the question-and-answer session, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. I'll now turn the call over to Dara Hollis. Dara Hollis, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for joining this month's Cox Automotive Sales Day conference call. This is Dara Hollis with the Cox Automotive Public Relations team. Today we have Charlie Chesbrough, Senior Economist for Cox Automotive, and Carl Brower, Executive Publisher for Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book, with an economic update and analysis based on the latest sales results, followed by a Q&A session. Now I will turn the call over to Charlie Chesbrough.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and good morning to everybody. Well, the sales numbers are coming in, and it's looking like another strong month for vehicle sales. We don't have the final numbers in from the whole industry, but at this rate, it's running a little bit ahead of what our expectations were. We were expecting the month to finish around a 16.6 million rate on a seasonally adjusted basis. And at this point, it's looking we're running, maybe 3/4 of a point above that, so closer to the 17 million pace. And that's what we've been running through the course of 2018 so far. And so vehicle sales are looking very, very strong. And it appears that sort of the usual culprits are still going on out there. Car sales continue to be down. We're seeing double-digit declines for many manufacturers in their car segments. But that ground is being made up for by very strong crossover and pickup truck sales. And we're seeing that pretty much across the board. I think one of the bigger stories that we're seeing starting to emerge is that the large crossover vehicles are doing quite well. We've seen rising transaction prices for some of the larger vehicles, particularly the Lincoln Navigator. Sales have been up for the Highlander as well as the Dodge Journey and the Caravan and the Honda Pilot. So a lot of these people mover type vehicles continue to do well, which is suggesting that a lot of the consumers out there, the family households, are doing well. And I think that's probably the big story. Some economic numbers came out today suggesting that the economy is really on historic ground right now with the labor markets showing robust job gains. We saw over 220,000 jobs created in the month of May, and the unemployment rate fell to 3.8%, the lowest we've seen since April of 2000. So that economic climate of strong job creation coupled with the low interest rates that we know are out there is leading to a very robust vehicle market. The one thing we were a bit concerned about was rising gasoline prices. That's been a story over the last month or two as we've seen gasoline prices really rise as we get ready for the summer driving season. But even though we're hitting close to $3 a gallon across the country, vehicle sales have not been impacted, at least not in any measurable way just yet, as I said, because vehicle sales continue to rise, and particularly for those vehicles which you would think would be the most unfriendly to fuel economy. So with those comments, I'll hand it over to Carl to give you a little bit more detail. Carl?
Thanks, Charlie. Yeah, I think there's you know, not a lot to add to what Charlie said. I mean, those are the basic structures of the market we're seeing right now. We're seeing the, as he said, trucks and SUVs offsetting the car sales. We're seeing the transaction prices and loan balances remain relatively high, and that's, of course, being driven by the truck and SUV sales. So we're at pretty high levels for both of those. I thought it was interesting when I saw that subprime lending seems to have pulled back a little bit, that the banks have maybe gotten a little more picky about who they're going to loan money to, so they pulled back, but there's just as many or more prime market buyers and lenders consumers out there that are taking loans. So again, the total loan balance for vehicles is, I think, about at record levels right now. And, you know, we see the domestics seem to be doing pretty well from what we can see. Certainly Ford was pretty much flat. Chrysler was way up. We would expect GM to be up as well, based on their market share and the vehicles they're selling and the vehicles that are doing well right now. Nissan didn't drop like they did last month. They were down, but at a much smaller level. I think they're still kind of adjusting their incentive and fleet mix a bit. We do feel like fleet is probably a bit high, maybe at Ford. You know, they're closer to a third of their sales, whereas we know that Chrysler is more like 22%, and again, we would guess that GM is closer to the 20% range. But again, just a strong month overall. I don't think we're going to see any real big shift in buying behavior as far as vehicle types at the current gas prices, and everything we've seen from our own internal studies suggests that it would have to go much higher, $4 and beyond, before we'd see any kind of substantial shift in buying behavior as far as vehicle types. So I think those are kind of the main points I'd want to make, but I'll throw it back to Dara, and we can talk about any other questions we've got.
Thanks, Carl. So now we're going to start the Q&A session. The operator will give instructions on how to ask a question, and while we're getting those in, some questions come in via email prior to the call, so we'll cover those first, and then we'll take the additional questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question-answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. There will be a delay before the first question is announced. If you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have an audio question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone.
Thanks. So our first written question is there any perspective you can offer on GM results considering the performance of Ford, FCA, and others?
Charlie, did you want to take that one? I can jump in. Go ahead.
Yeah, we really can't get into too much detail, but our expectation is that, given that it's been such a strong month, that GM probably saw their sales increase as well. Our expectation was is that they would be up about 10% on a year-over-year basis, and we have no reason to think that, their sales aren't going to come along at that rate. I think the big story for GM is going to be sort of how aggressive do they get with fleet. We know that Ford, as was mentioned before, is getting pretty aggressive in the fleet market. About a third of all their activity is now fleet, at least year to date. GM's been a little bit more conservative with that, and so they're doing a little bit more on the retail side. So their sales, I think, are looking quite strong based on the composition of those sales.
Okay, our next question is, do you think we are seeing any negative impact on Ford car sales or Ford sales in general after the media coverage of their plans to exit the car business?
Yeah, I can take that one at least initially. And I feel like Ford's concern is really beyond car sales. It's their SUV sales, right? I mean, we knew the car sales are struggling for every automaker, including Ford. And some would argue that it was probably a smart move for them to jump out of that market as they're committing to do. We've seen Chrysler already do that, and it's actually paying dividends in terms of their profitability and sales. But that is all contingent on the fact that you've got strong SUV sales as a counter to the car sales. And, the SUV sales were generally down for Ford this month. So that's a little troubling, because you really want that's where the market is. If you're not maintaining or growing on the SUV side, that gets a little more concerning. So were the sales down because people were upset about them bailing on cars? Probably not. I think there's other factors in play there, but that's really where the concern should be, not as much their car sales, but their SUV sales. That's where the future is going to be for the company.
And we had a question regarding Trump trade policies and the implications of the new tariffs on the vehicle market. How long do you think it will be until vehicle prices go up?
That's a tough one. It's hard to know how much of this is real and how much of this is just the president's negotiating tactics. I think clearly the announcements that we've seen regarding trade policy over the last week are really geared towards the Mexican and the Canadians, and really trying to get them to make some concessions at the NAFTA trade agreements. But all of that's kind of been on hold given the upcoming Mexican elections and our own midterm elections. So it seems like a lot of ground hasn't been made. If these tariffs actually go into effect and there's, you know, retaliation, which I think we have to expect that there will be some type of retaliation. It seems to me that, one, I think we can bank on the idea that the costs are going to be passed along to consumers. It's a little too volatile right now, and there's such a long lead time in the industry that there really isn't very few alternatives that the industry could take in terms of changing sourcing decisions to get the tooling up and all of the engineering to source from a different plant or a different country to try and meet their supply chain needs. Given the volatility of policy that may be in effect, it may not be in effect, it seems to me that the industry is just not going to be able to really adjust, and is simply going to take whatever costs are incurred and incorporate them into their own business plans. So how long does that take to get into the auto market? Well, again, it's a lot is not known, but I would expect that by the fall, a lot of the vehicles are going to be facing the higher tariffs in their production costs. We'll probably see a little bit of a price creep on vehicles simply if the cost of building them is going to go up probably within a few months.
Okay, we had one final written question. The EPA is proposing to revoke the authority of the California Air Resources Board. What implications do you anticipate if the EPA is successful in rescinding California's waiver from federal standards on vehicle tailpipe emissions?
I can jump in there real quick on this one. Is I think it's an interesting timing on this all, the way it's working out, because we've seen a real push from California and other states that have aligned with California to get zero emission vehicles into the marketplace. It's been going on for really a couple decades now, and we're going to finally see a lot of activity in this area over the next 2 years. Between now and 2020, there's going to be several pure EV vehicles launched from multiple manufacturers, and that's going to happen to be happening in theory if this happens, and if the federal government is successful, right when CARB and a lot of its influence would be removed. I think the automakers are far enough along now that they're not going to stop that train, regardless of what goes on with CARB, especially since globally there's increased incentive coming from markets like China and Europe to do this. So I don't think it would have a huge impact on either vehicle planning and product planning at the manufacturers or even consumer behavior. But it is ironic, the timing, given that we're at the point where it kind of is, kind of what CARB has wanted for a couple decades is starting to actually happen, and then they might themselves not be around when it happens. But there's probably going to be a lot of legal action before that could even possibly be true.
Yeah, I would agree with all that, Carl. And I would just add, you know, it is a complicated issue for the industry because, and really for the country, because it kind of comes down to a state's rights issue. You know, do states have the right to set their own environmental policy? And if that's substantially different than the federal government, you know, do people have a right to demand, you know, cleaner air or better fuel economy? You got about 40 to 45% of the vehicle market at stake with California and the states that are in line with them. So this is a very important issue for the industry, and for the industry itself, I think they just want one policy for the whole country because that would be the easiest to manage to. So there certainly is a lot to be decided on this over the next few months.
Okay, thanks. Now the operator is going to open the lines for questions from the audience.
Thank you. On the line first, we have Mike Martinez from Automotive News. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Mike.
I just had a bigger picture question. It seems like over the past year, as the market's plateaued, numbers have tended to come in a little lower than expected, but you know, obviously this month things are looking good. I know LMC is raise their forecast, and you guys have indicated that yours could inch up as well. What's behind this? Because it seems like those same overall economic market factors have still been in place, but you know, what's with the recent strong numbers, especially this month?
Yeah, I think the one thing that's really kind of been the change in the marketplace from what folks were expecting 6 months ago and what's happening today is really tax reform. And, you know, there was always this questionable side of things. You know, were they actually going to do it? You know, could they actually get this done? So they actually did it what kind of effect is it going to have? And we're seeing that economic activity has just really started to pick up in a lot of sectors, and certainly in the labor market itself, with the unemployment rate so low, and yet wage rates not really rising as quickly as that we were expecting. It's sort of like we're getting the best of both worlds. We're getting strong economic activity without the inflation that we're so worried about, and that's what the Federal Reserve is watching closely. The numbers that came out today did show that wages did rise about 2.7%, which is good, but it's not really great. It's not in that wages taking off kind of range that we have to worry about rising interest rates. So right now the economy seems to be in a very strong sweet spot, and the only thing that you can really point to would be that tax reform that happened at Christmas time, that little additional money that consumers are taking home with them is having a positive impact on their wallets and their confidence.
Thanks, guys.
And as a reminder, to enter the queue, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. And our next question comes from Gabrielle Coppola from Bloomberg News.
Hi, guys. Just first, a little housekeeping thing. I couldn't tell who made the comments about the impact of tariffs. If you wouldn't mind, like, reminding me who's talking when you're... I just want to know who
Charlie
said that.
Chesbrough.
That was Charlie. Okay, thank you. And then my question is just about what you're seeing in terms of incentives in the pickup truck space. It seems like it's been a very heated competition, has been growing, and just wanted to ask what you saw this month and how long you think that can go on.
Charlie, I don't know if you want to take that one.
I don't have anything specific on pickup incentives. We're at kind of a tricky point for the pickup market, right? The Ram is out there. The Silverado is coming. The F-150 is starting to get a little dated, at least relative to some of its competition. So I think there's going to be a lot of territory being fought for come this fall when all three vehicles are going to be out there in the marketplace with the latest products.
Mm-hmm.
I think that competition is going to heat up. But from what we can see so far, everybody's still winning. The sales still look quite robust for the pickup trucks. And I'm sure Memorial Day sales, one of the things that we had this year that we haven't had in other years is a couple of extra days after Memorial Day till we had the end of the month. And I think what we're seeing in some of these numbers already is that consumers really took advantage of that, and the extended length of these sales that happened over Memorial Day probably gave a boost to the vehicles in general.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was
Charlie.
Charlie, sorry.
That was Charlie, and this is Carl. And I would just add to what Charlie said is that don't forget that as we all know, trucks have a massive amount of profit built in. So, and we see the transaction prices on these things higher than they've ever been before with all these premium models that have come out over the last 5+ years. What that means is that you can have really aggressive incentives and still make a lot of money, and I think that's all absolutely by design. So the automakers are able to price these trucks technically at or officially at one level and sell them potentially at a much different level price-wise and still be making lots of money the entire time. So I think you're going to see what Charlie said, a lot of aggressive incentives to try to maintain market share, and everyone will still be making lots of money no matter what those incentives get to on all three of those vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
And as a reminder, to enter the queue, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. We're standing by for more questions. And we have no further audio questions at this time.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for your participation today. Please keep an eye out for details on next month's call. If you need anything from Cox Automotive or any of its brands in the meantime, please contact a member of the public relations team. We're always happy to help you, and we thank you for your time this morning and hope you have a great day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating, and we now disconnect.